Amen, Brother Danny. Amen and amen. Never have been led to preach upon it before, but 12 legions of angels stood down, waiting the word. Think about that. Waiting the word. 12 legions, our Savior said, that all he had to do was say the word. 12 legions of angels would have came down. He spoke not a word. He loves his children.
Amen.
So thankful that you blessed us to be here with you this weekend. It has been a great blessing to me. And just like these old cell phones and things that we have, you gotta plug them in the wall and recharge them, you know. And I needed recharging. And I'm very thankful to be here, and I've greatly enjoyed Brother Ronnie, Brother Danny. The Lord's really blessed them. Before I forget, the anxiety level hits. I asked my father in the ministry. I have many. Brother Will's a father in the ministry. Brother Harold Hunt's a father in the ministry. He doesn't even know that. But from many of his writings and things that have been great encouragement to me. But Brother Lonnie Mazingo Sr., my father-in-law, I asked him one time, I was getting in the pulpit, I was sick on my stomach. And I said, does it get any easier? And he goes, son, it doesn't. He goes, I'm not going to tell you it gets any easier. And I ask you to please pray for me. I always ask churches that I serve to pray that the Lord would get Brother Hugh out of the way. I'm very thankful for the hospitality and the love and the warmth that you have displayed here. That's not glory unto you. That's glory unto God. I'm thankful for the young folks that are here. And as an older sister in my church one time tried to put me on the spot, she likes picking on me, and she goes, well, Brother Hugh, what is the age of the young folks you're talking about? I said, Sister Betty, I just look dumb. I'm not dumb. I'm not going to touch that. So I'm going to let you decide if you're young or not. But the young folks that are here on a Friday night and on a Saturday, thank the Lord for you. Amen. For being here. And for Brother Will and Sister Allison with opening up their home, great fellowship with them. And as I said, your pastor's been a great encouragement to me. I met him at our New Year's Eve meeting, and I invite you to that. And I understand that y'all have a big van in this church that a family owns, and y'all should load that van up and head for our New Year's meeting, many of you to come. Would love to have every one of you. And we have a good time on our New Year's Eve meeting, and would love for y'all to load up and come and be with us. We start our service, we have a supper, and with what preaching brethren are come. They come and they preach the gospel with the Lord's blessing. And we go home, but we end the year thanking the Lord for all of our great blessings. Brother Coy, Brother Will were there last year with Brother John Mizell and Brother David Crawford, and we had a great time in the Lord. We also, at Ideal Primitive Baptist Church, are going to host the Good Hope Association the first weekend in October, and if you would be interested in coming, we would love to have you. Would also like to make mention, please continue to pray for Brother Lonnie. He and I look forward to traveling together on this trip. But with his car accident, he's not able to travel. And I ask you to please pray for him. He sends his love and regards for you all. And I was very thankful that my lovely wife, Sister Becky, could be here with me. I ask you to please turn to the book of Joshua. And I'm going to ask you to think about a couple of things. Very important for us to teach these things. Because if we don't, if you do not raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, the world will certainly be glad to teach them.
Right.
Will certainly be glad to. And the world has a philosophy that is exactly contrary to what God's Word says. And will greatly confuse you, me, and our children. I ask you this morning, what is success? Brother Brad Hanser and I had a wonderful few minutes on the phone talking about this one Saturday in between concrete trucks. We got our conversation in. And I ask you, what do you consider as success in this life? Now, the world's philosophy coming to you is going to be, young folks, we'll start with you, what school you go to, what clothes you wear, what car that you have. Just run the credit card on up, you know, you can take care of that later. But, you know, all of the job that you have, the title that you have, the neighborhood that you live in. Brother Hugh, do you want our children to not be successful? Absolutely not. We need to have in our homes goals, godly goals, Christian goals, and the means and the method to meet those goals and to establish those goals to be godly and Christian goals. The world will tell you that the means justify the end to justify the means, however you get there. You know, take whatever supplements you need to hit more home runs than the next guy. That's cheap. Cheating on tests, cheating on income tax returns. The world will say just a wink at that, and does God's word condone that? However, you've got to climb the ladder of success. You count the body count at the end of the day, because it's all about you getting ahead of the next guy. You find that in God's word? Well, Brother Hugh, I want my children to be successful. Amen. I've got three of them. I do too. But I have to be careful with the things that I put before them. I want them to make good grades. But why are we going after good grades? Are we going after good grades to get you up on a pedestal?
Preach it, brother.
Are we making good grades? Are our means and our methods going to be there that everything we do in word and in deed glorifies God? The Christian rule. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart unto the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That means that there's your rule that you go to. Young folks and older folks, I'll let you determine the age you're in, the group you're in. With the things that you do in this life, that by word and by deed is to glorify your God, to glorify Jesus Christ. Should I go to this party? Is it going to glorify God? Should I watch this movie? Is it going to glorify God? Should I read this book? Is it going to be glorifying to God? Well, Brother Hugh, that's nailing me down with some parameters.
Amen.
Yes, sir, it is. Because you're here, creature, to glorify the Creator. Revelation 4 and 11, I believe, it gives you what your work scope is, creature. That you're here to glorify the Creator. That's why you're here. And there is great success to be had here in this kingdom right here. But it needs to be success driven by glorifying God.
Amen.
In our words and our deeds. Now, again, the world's philosophy, church. The masses must be right, huh? If there's more people at that church, if the church house is bigger, you know, if this church is $6 million to build it, and this church, you know, was $8 million to build it, And there's a little war going on where I live. Church split off from another church. And, you know, this one brother that I work with, he's a deacon, and he said, boy, they put the deacons on notice because if we lose any more members to this church, they may get rid of all of us. And I'm going, wow, sounds like a corporation. Do y'all have time to worship God there? I asked him.
Yeah.
I'm friends with him, and I can say that. And I'm bigger than him, too, so I can say that. But the masses must be right. You know, as the world says, you know, must not much be going on at that little primitive Baptist church. Look how small the building is. There's not a whole lot of cars there. The masses must be right, huh? You know, if you can get 40,000 people crammed into an auditorium and a man stand up there and just give the most bubbly, positive, non-scriptural message and just smile and say, God wants you to be prosperous and successful. And it doesn't matter. If one door shuts, God's going to open another one for you. Bubbly, bubbly. You know, not once does he mention your inability to restore yourself into the favor of God. Not once does it talk about your total depravity. Well, people don't want to hear that. You know, when you're spoon feeding them sugar pie, you know, all the time, that it's all about you. It's not about you. It's about serving God.
Right, yeah.
It's not about you being entertained. I get greatly entertained in the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
When the gospel's being preached, the men are being blessed with much liberty to preach the whole counsel of God. You know, it must be the masses there, you know, but not once do I hear about my total depravity, my inability to restore myself into the favor of God, my only hope of eternal hope of heaven rests in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. But it's that bubbly, bubbly success. What are we teaching our children? What are we teaching our children at home? Are we truly, you can needle point it, you can buy it, you can get it in a store that says, as far as me and my house, we're going to worship the Lord, and you can tack it up on the wall. Is it manifest in your home? Boy, you can put all kind of Bible verses up on the on needle pointed up on the wall. And they're great to have. But does it really say in your home? Because the unseen guest is there with you all the time. Does it really say, as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord? Or does it say, Ichabod, the glory of God hath departed? You see, it's so important for us. So important for us, because if we don't teach it, the world is going to.
Right.
And how many of our young folks have been led astray by this world's philosophy of success? You know, we're going to go to this church over here because there's more activity for the children. I'm moving to this town for this job. Well, is there a Primitive Baptist? Is there a church there? I don't know. But this is just for a little while. I'm just going here. This will be my next step. It's a stepping stone, Brother Hugh. You don't understand. Oh, Brother Hugh understands. I've lived it. I've been there. Book of Joshua. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan now, and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Joshua, Moses' servant, his personal aid, his military commander, and he's been called by God. God gave him the authority. God gave him the responsibility. God gave parents the authority and the responsibility to raise their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The authority and the responsibility. Brother Hugh, that's heavy. Yes, it is. You can be deficient like I was, that you get called up. I confess faults to you. You'll love me in spite of myself, or I'll be gone this afternoon and you won't. But as this world will put scales on your eyes, and you will stop being the head of your home because you're trying to make a living. We are to be providers for our home, but as the head of the home, men, or as some sisters have been unfortunately put in that position, our grandparents have, to teach our children, to teach them what God's Word says about the matter. And for men to step up as head of the home and understand you're the spiritual leader. They follow your lead at
right.
home.
Yes,
they're
right.
Following your lead. If you have a flip attitude about church, then as you get older and the Lord deals with you and you desire to be in the house of the Lord more and you go, well, my children just don't come to church, don't be surprised if you let them lay in the bed and let them start idol worshiping themselves. Their sleep is more important than serving the Lord. You're in direct rebellion of God when you do that. That's direct rebellion. Again, you're not going to get a whole lot of people hug you real tight in a handshake after you preach this, but this is must be taught, must be preached. We must follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. John, Moses, the mantle has been laid upon Joshua, so to speak, and Joshua is there. Can you imagine that now you, this stiff-necked, murmuring folk, are yours to lead into the promised land? And we're not talking 20 people here to try to load up into a van to go on a trip. We're talking, well, it could be over 2 million folks. I don't know, the Lord knows, but it was a lot of people there. And they're camped down on the east side of Jordan. You tent dwellers that I'm looking at here, you're camped down on the east side of Jordan right now. We're only here for a little while. We're on the east side of Jordan. We're going to go home one day, one glorious day. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and from this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward, and going down to the sun, shall be your coast. God's promises. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. You're not alone in being the head of your home, daddies. You're not alone in this land. God's promise, be strong, I'm with you, I will not fail you nor forsake you. The world will tell you to find something else to lean on. We lean on not our own understanding, we lean on the precious everlasting arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We lean upon Him, God's promises. Well, Brother Hugh, the financial market and everything is tough. I'm barely making ends meet. I'm telling you, be strong, be of good courage. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. God's promise, he tells Joshua. Joshua needs some encouragement here. Pastors need encouragement. Daddies need encouragement. Grandparents, children, do we all need encouragement? Now, you can go to the bestseller book list. You can go, there's always somebody writing a new book. Love when people come up to me and say, have you read so-and-so? You must go get this book. It's going to change your life. You know, it's kind of like a young man, a waiter came up with, I was sitting with my boss one day, and he goes, you must try the soup. It's awesome. Only God is awesome. You remember that word belongs to God. You know, somebody flips off a bicycle or a motorcycle and kids go, that's awesome. God's awesome. Right. That was crazy. God's awesome. God is awesome. And so the young man looked at me and he goes, do you want to try the soup? I said, I don't know. I'm kind of scared to right now. I said, only my God is awesome. You may have a pretty good cup of soup, but only God is awesome. Let's move on with our lesson. God's promise here. Now we go on with God's word. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. That means you're going to have success. We're going to read God's plan of success right here. Now, companies come up with mission statements and their plans of success. New books out on the bookcase. You know, Brother Hugh, read this book. It's going to change your life. I've got the book. I've got the book. Now, you read other books. That's fine. But that I don't spend enough time in this one. I don't need some other man's divinely driven purpose life book. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. God's promise, and now he says, God's word. You're going to have success with it. He says, talk about it, meditate it, do it, apply it in your life. Make it manifest in your life. That's great having some Bible verses up on the wall, but are they manifest in your life? As far as me and my house are going to serve the Lord, I can do all things through my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who strengthened me. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? People have put it up, you know, real, you know, in a flipped way. We're to talk about God's Word. We're to meditate on God's Word. We're to do it. We're to apply it in our life. Success here. And then shalt thou have good success. Here's the plan. You want a mission statement? I worked for a company one time, big corporation. And as long as you're a top money producer, they'll, you know, just keep on filling you full of yourself. Their mission statement was quality projects on time and within budget. But the first time the company didn't finish the job on time, the statement was still quality projects on time and within budget. Well, what about that one job that we did? We don't talk about it. Worked for another company in Louisiana one time, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Their mission statement was do the right thing. Sounds good, doesn't it? Do the right thing. Yet we have more attorneys working for us because we have so many lawsuits going on, because our way to do the right thing is to sue the pants off the guy that, you know, tries to take our nickel, or we see a nickel to take from somebody. That was their plan of success. That was their successful business plan. Where's God honored in that? He's not. The good plan of success, God's plan of success, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I promised you, I give you my word, and you have my presence with you, Joshua. You have my presence with you. Well, what happens with the masses, Brother Hugh? I mean, you know, I understand that the masses are not always right, but, you know, it gets hard to keep on keeping on, and it gets hard to, when these people come and discourage you and go, why are you still going over there at that little old Baptist church? We got so many things for you. We got so many groups. We've got so many this, we've got so many that. Because we come to the Lord's house to worship Him in spirit and in truth. This isn't an opportunity to beat up on another denomination. There's no place of that in God's pulpit.
Amen.
It's just for us to think about the privilege and the blessing that we have here right now today. Because you're going to invite people to church, and this is what you're up against. Ecclesiastes 1 and 9 says there's no new thing under the sun. So when you go, well, we're just in different and difficult times, things are more difficult now, there's no new thing under the sun. Elijah faced it. And we'll go to that very quickly. We're going to certainly be mindful of the time. Went a little long last night. We'll blame it on the anxiety. Maybe. You know, you're in competition with this when you invite folks to church. I invited a good friend of mine that I've known for years to come to church, but this is what I was up against. At the same time that we were having a meeting at our church, down the road, there was a group of big old steroided guys that take rebar and bend it around their neck for the Lord. They bust concrete block for the Lord. They bust, you know, one of them lays a block of ice on his chest and another one hits it with a sledgehammer so that they can witness for the Lord. And he goes, well, we're going up over there to watch that. Do y'all have anything like that? No. No, sir, we don't. We want to worship the Lord. Well, that's what they're doing. They're giving a testimony. Okay, after a guy hits me in the chest with a sledgehammer to break a block, you know, common sense will get you a long way in this life, you know. There's a lot of people that have zeal, but it's not according to knowledge, you know. It's not that I don't believe that they are sincere in what they're believing and doing, but they have a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. You can get the masses to come when you got a show going. Because we're baptized all during the week in entertainment, aren't we?
Right.
Think about all your gadgets and stuff you got at home. You know, we're a quick do-it-now society. Microwave ovens, you know, that microwave can cook it in 1 minute. This microwave can cook it in 30 seconds, you know. We're a gadget society. We're baptized in the entertainment all during the week that we have. Elijah had, and this was not Elijah's motive. I certainly not preaching that. But Elijah, there's a showdown about to happen in 1 Kings chapter 18. And we'll use this as an example. Showdown is happening. Ahab, he says to that old king, that old wicked king, as Ahab sees him, he says, "Art thou he that troubleth, O Israel, O troubler," he calls him. You know, you're the one that's stirring up, you're causing all these problems. Verse 18, and he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house." You know, you may be called a troubler. You tell people the truth of God's word, you'll be called a troubler.
Right.
But you keep telling the truth of what God's word.
Right.
You may have some family that may not particularly, they may roll your eyes at you and everything else, but you keep telling them and you keep making it manifest. You glorify God in it, in your walk. It's not about you flicking your lapels about how great you are. It's glorifying God in those things. It's lifting the banner of Christ up high every day. And that's hard to do. Because when you do, you're the target of Satan. You are the, as you try, as you say, "Lord, help me this day. I failed you miserably yesterday. Lord, I feel it. But help me to hold the banner of Christ up high this day." And as you feel your legs getting knocked out from underneath you, you remember the promise that God said to Joshua, that by His promise and by His word and by His very presence that He's with you. And Elijah says, "I'm not the one that's causing the trouble, King Ahab. I've not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophet of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. And Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him, but if Baal, then follow him." Two opinions. You know, there's two roads. You know, there's so many religions that you hear about. There's two roads. There's two. There's one that says, "Ye shall be as gods." And there's one that says, "Jesus Christ plus nothing." There's one that says, "And ye shall be as gods," that Christ's success is hinging on you. He made men redeemable, and He's waiting on you. It's all hinging on you. But that's not what God's Word teaches. That teaches ye shall be as gods. That you're a deity. That you're helping out absolute deity, perfect humanity in your salvation. That's contrary to God's Word. The other pathway says Jesus Christ plus nothing, and the proclamation that says it is finished by Jesus Christ. Listen to what the people say. "And the people answered him not a word." They didn't say a thing. You imagine how many people are there and they don't say a word. As I was talking about, you know, the crickets were chirping. He didn't even get an amen. He got nothing. They spoke not a word. But listen, he's going to tell them that there's going to be a showdown, and listen to what happens. "Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullets, and let them choose one bullet for themselves, and cut it into pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullet and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods," little g, "and I will call on the name of the Lord," big L, "and the big G God that answered by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." What? We're fixing to have a contest, a showdown? Count me in. People's nature. There's no new thing under the sun. People want to be entertained because they get in that habit of all during the week and not understanding that this life, there are some good things to be entertained in, but most importantly, by word and by deed, everything you do in life is about glorifying God. Well, this plan of success, God's plan of success, what is the basis of that plan of success? What is the foundation of that plan of success? Is that plan of success based upon a Lord that almost got it done or a Lord that got it done? Is it a plan? Was Calvary a monumental failure and it's all hinging on you, sinner friend? Or does God's Word tell us that He was an offering made to God, not made to man? Sacrificial terms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ all through God's Word. Christ, our Passover, sacrificial term. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, sacrificial term. By a lamb, by the precious blood of a lamb, without blemish, without spot, all sacrificial terms to the sacrifice, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The successful plan for God's people has a foundation of a very, very successful God. It's not a God that almost got it done. It's a God that said it is finished. He was made manifest in the flesh. Apostle Paul says in Titus, as we bring our thoughts to the close, who gave himself in Titus chapter 2 verse 14, his special atonement, what Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, one and the same, who gave himself for us, not for the whole world, for us, for the elect family of God, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. God has given us the responsibility and the authority to tell people the good news. That's what the gospel is. It's the good news. And it's not going about with the stick, as I said, and banging them on the head going, it's sovereign grace. If you don't believe me, I'll hit you again. That's not how it is. It's by speaking to folks with love and telling them about the wonderful blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon you. That I was an alien, and death reigned within. That you're able to tell them how you've been washed whiter than snow because of the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a successful Savior. The angel. You study all the lessons of the angels everywhere through God's Word. There's an angel that came to Joseph and told Joseph, as his mind was troubled, he loved Mary. But Mary's with child. And he's trying to figure out what he needs to do. And the angel said, told him to be not afraid. And he told him, she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. His very name means salvation. Jehoshua saved. He saved his people from their sins. It is finished. It tells us in God's Word that he sat down. He sat down he's at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's a place of preeminence. That's a place of dominion. That's a place of authority. But it's also a place of rest. It's a place of completion. Because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said with a loud voice from Calvary, it is finished. God's plan of success for us. You don't have to go look in the bookstore for it. You've got it right here. God's plan of success, and it's all based upon a successful Savior. God bless you.
Amen.